Welcome to the First Church Podcast, a weekly podcast of messages from the First Church of Christ in Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Morning. Good to be here this morning. My name is Don McClune. I'm the president of the Debbie McClune Fan Club. Today's 15,745 days I've been that president, so it's a good day. John's not here today, so you are stuck with me. We're going to continue, of course, in the story, the great series, 31 weeks, and today is week 11, and it's David and Goliath. I know what you're thinking. I know the story. Don't check out, okay? Stay with me. We might learn something together, who knows? But before we talk about David and Goliath, let me go back about 58 years, 1955. There's a lady riding a bus, and she sits alone, and she's told to get up and move to the back, and she refuses to get up. Her enemy looked invincible, the federal government. The entire culture that she lived in said, "You can't do that. You have to move." All were against her. You see, Rosa saw in her heart what others did not see with their eyes. Rosa Parks said this, "Knowing what must be done does away with fear. It was time for someone to stand up, or in my case, sit down." That's David right there. When I read this, saw this quote, I thought, that's David. "And knowing what must be done did away with all my fear." That's David. Today we talk about overwhelming odds against you. No way will you win. Impossible, overpowering. You have an invincible enemy. All this against a boy named David. I want you to remember five letters this morning. D-N-L-M-G, okay? And it does not stand for "Do Not Let McClune Go," all right? It doesn't say that. Just remember that. We'll get back to them. I want you to memorize five letters, D-N-L-M-G, okay? Now, I want to show you some slides this morning, okay? First of all, a mini bike, a really small mini bike, versus an 18-wheeler. There is no chance at all for this mini bike to take this 18-wheeler. No chance. The odds are definitely against the mini bike. Next slide. If the big dog wants to take the little dog, he can do that. It would be a snack at the most. By the way, I just thought of something. Years ago, Debbie and I had a golden retriever, a big golden retriever, 110 pounds, and great dog. He had one problem. He did not like little white dogs. If he saw a little white dog, he put the little white dog in his mouth. Our best friends had a little black dog, no problem. They played all the time. Little white dog, right in his mouth, all the time. Okay, next slide. A toothpick versus a tornado. There is no chance for the toothpick to win in this battle. Overwhelming odds. It's not going to work. The toothpick will lose every time. Okay, and the last slide, this is the one that we can't beat. This is it. Nothing can beat it. It's us. It's going to be us. It's overwhelming. We'll lose every time, right? Wait for it. Wait for it. We serve a God with an empty tomb. That's the good news this morning. That's the good news. Well, let me describe Goliath to you. 9.5 feet tall. By the way, that's taller than I am. The tip of his spear was 15 pounds. The tip of his spear. The armor that he wore weighed 125 pounds. In addition to that, he had a shield bearer go before he went. Invincible. 9.5 feet tall. Now, just to give you perspective, 9.5 feet tall, the red mark, the line, is 9.5 feet tall. He's a big boy. 9.5 feet tall. All the military resources he had at his disposal. He was a hardened warrior. No way any soldier could defeat him one-on-one. Impossible. Invincible. Except here comes a boy named David. A young boy with lots of faith in a living God. And David hears a voice, a loud voice. And this voice, for 40 days, morning and night, defied his enemy, to defy, to treat with contempt, to taunt, to ridicule. Well, David is simply taking supplies to his brothers, and he hears a voice, a mocking voice, defying his own people, and more importantly, defying his living God. The Bible says that Goliath defied his enemy 80 times. The soldiers saw Goliath with eyes of faithless. David saw Goliath with faithful eyes. The soldiers saw Goliath, were afraid, and ran away. David saw Goliath and ran toward him. Well, Goliath sees David, and he says, "You mock me? You come out on this battlefield? You send a boy out here in the battlefield? But you stepped on the battlefield, so game on." This is like a four-year-old peewee football team versus your favorite team, the Baltimore Ravens. Whoa. Don't shoot me, I'm just the messenger. David replies, "You do come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come at you with a living God. And today, Mr. Goliath, in a few seconds, in fact, you're about to meet your maker." And you could hear Goliath, we could still hear him, laughing. I mean, the laughter must have went through the whole valley down there when David said that. But quickly, game was over. Lights out, Goliath dead. Fortunately, David did not listen to the doubts that were expressed by the other soldiers, doubts expressed by the faithless. Satan still whispers these doubts. Satan still whispers these doubts to you. You can't do that. You're not smart enough to do that. You'll never make it. Don't forget all the sins you've committed. You'll never get that job. Friends, don't forget Satan is the father of all lies, and his native language is lying. The devil wants you to focus on your big problem, but it's time to remember words that were spoken from this platform. Instead of telling God about your big problem, today it's time to tell your problem about your big God. Who parted the Red Sea? Who stopped the sun? Who raised the dead? Who fed the thousands with a boy's lunch? Who created the sun? Who created the moon? Who created the oceans? Who created you and I? We serve a living God who is in the business of taking care of hopeless situations. You serve a living God who's in the business of taking care of your hopeless situation. We need to measure our giant, whatever that might be, against God and not against yourself. What is your giant? I have a slide here. What is your giant? Is your giant maybe a job loss? Is your giant pride or selfish ambition? Is your giant failure because you failed over and over again? Is your giant rejection or peer pressure or criticism? Maybe your giant is financial problems. Maybe your giant is pornography or alcohol. Maybe your giant this morning is an unforgiving heart, whether it be yours or somebody else's. Whatever your giant is, do you fear it? Probably the oldest and strongest emotion that we have is fear. Remember back in Genesis, Adam and Eve, after that woman, Debbie's not here. After that woman, they were afraid. They were hiding from God. Fear is one of the oldest and strongest emotions. There are a lot of fears that we have. Brontophobia. Brontophobia is not the fear of brontosaurus. It's the fear of thunderstorms. Another fear that a lot of people have is maybe you're claustrophobic, the fear of being trapped in a small place. Or maybe, probably the number one fear is arachnophobia, the fear of spiders. My youngest daughter, Sarah, if you look up arachnophobia in the dictionary, her picture is right there. Years ago, she was in her bathroom standing at her sink, and she let out the blood-curdling scream of the century, and I, being the good dad, two floors away, ran because I knew I'd find her leg laying there or her arm taken off of her body or something. And I said, Sarah, she said, there was a little tiny spider on the floor and had her trapped in the bathroom. So I picked it up and then ate it. You know, I just you know, you people are too easy. Maybe you suffer with ecclesiophobia, the fear of church, or homilophobia, the fear of sermons. If you fear church and sermons, you're in major trouble this morning. You really are. And if you're old enough to remember the old fairy tales, the soldiers from Israel definitely had the phobia of fee-fi-fo-fum phobia, of the giant that was facing them. You know, if you're facing a giant this morning, the first thing you need to do is to identify the giant. Who is it? What is it? And maybe we need to look in the mirror because maybe the giant that we fear is ourself. Second, we have to admit that we are inadequate. We need to rely on God because by ourselves, we cannot defeat whatever giant you might have. In 1 Corinthians, it says, thanks be to God who has given us victory through Jesus. Not will, it says, thanks be to God who has given us victory. Here's the good news. The Bible says that all these battles that we face throughout our life, they're not our battles. They're God's battles. And of course, the good news is, how many battles has God ever lost? That's the good news. It's not our battle, it's God's battle. Then we have to pray. Don't forget to pray. I think sometimes it's the last thing we do. Maybe we have to pray about this. Maybe it should be the first thing we do. Too often we concentrate on everything except the one who can solve the problem for us. Because without God, we definitely have a power shortage. Next, and a very important step, is we need to relax in faith. God in his perfect plan desires to work through us. He will use you with all your imperfections. He can use you even with that. Remember, you can't let God down because you've never held him up. He holds us up. He loves you. He died for you. And lastly, thank God for helping you slay your giant. But here's an important step. Thank God in advance for what he's going to do. In Max Lucado's book, Facing Your Giants, he says over and over again, focus on your giants and you stumble. Focus on God and your giants tumble. Focus on your giants and you stumble. Focus on God and your giants tumble. You see, now David was prepared to fight this Goliath, fight this giant. The Bible says he ran 1.8 miles from Bethlehem to this valley where the battle was going to take place. And he carried 5 pounds of grain, 10 loaves of bread, and 10 chunks of cheese. Well, since you people love football, David must have been from Wisconsin somehow because he played for the Green Bay Packers, because the Bible says he already beat the Bears and the Lions, and now he's going to defeat the Giants. Come on, that's... Thank you very much. Are you prepared to conquer your giant this morning? Are we prepared to do that? David's past experiences helped him to be prepared for Goliath. Your past experiences, whether they be good or bad, helps you to be prepared to fight your giant. The Bible says that all things work for good according to God's purpose, those who love him. You see, David was chosen for his character and not for his credentials. David was chosen for his faith and not his physique. He overcame pressures from others. You can't do that, the other soldiers said. Why did you even come here? Starting today, our perception against our giant, whatever it might be, needs to be God's perspective. How different would it be, whatever giant you're facing, if it was God's perspective, not yours? In the book of Proverbs, it tells us that where there is no vision, people perish. What vision does God want you to have today with your giant? Our God thoughts need to outnumber our Goliath thoughts. During this passage of scripture, all the soldiers discuss Goliath. No one else. They just talk about Goliath. During this passage of scripture, David doesn't really mention Goliath. He mentions God. He dwells on God. Maybe that's what we need to do. You know, there are some comparisons here between David and Jesus. They're both from Bethlehem. They both were sent from their father. They both were rejected from some of their family. And they both fought a battle where victory was assured before it even began. And both disarmed an enemy and rendered him useless. We have similar comparisons for ourselves today. We need to face our giants with God's strength. In 2 Corinthians 12, it says, his grace is all you need, because my power is greatest when you are weak. David on his own was a weak boy, maybe a teenager. But the Bible says, do not let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be a good example. You know, we have great kids at this church. I don't know if you've noticed that, but we do. We have great kids here. But we think so many times, especially when I hear this term, those teenagers, or something will happen, you know, there'll be graffiti on a wall and they'll say, we don't know what happened. It must have been teenagers. Well, maybe, just maybe, it was adults. We have great teens. We need to pray for Connie, for Michael, for Angela and their staff that work with our kids. I don't know if you heard of Alex, a boy from San Diego, who last Christmas, a couple Christmases ago, his dad asked what you want for Christmas. He gave this long list of expensive electronic stuff. And his dad said, man, there's something wrong here. And his dad said, no, I'm not going to buy you anything, but you need to go out and serve people. So Alex decided what he would do was feed people in San Diego. So 130 Sundays later, Alex and a couple of his friends have given out 33,000 burritos. They do it every Sunday morning in San Diego. His dad said, anything is possible when you take the first step. Maybe we need to take our first step against our giant this morning. So David stands alone, facing overwhelming odds against him. Today, maybe you stand alone, facing overwhelming odds against you. John Wesley, in his book Notes on the Bible, says this: a little shepherd comes this morning from keeping sheep, and he has more courage than all the mighty men of Israel. This God often does great things for his people by the weak things of the world. And hear these words from the book of Amos. God is the one who formed the mountains. God created the world. He makes his thoughts known to us. He changes day into night. He walks the high places of the earth. The Lord God Almighty is his name. When you truly come to know Jesus, you never view him the same way. He has unlimited power, unbridled might, untarnished glory, impossible to describe, incredible to imagine. In contrast to Goliath, God is creator of all the world. Your tall Goliath, your tall giant, makes you look small. But when viewed from the top of the Empire State Building, the tallest man in the world is barely visible. We need to get God's perspective. If you want to minimize your Goliath, your giant, you must magnify your God. Goliath underestimated David and his living God. Maybe we do the same thing. Maybe we underestimate what God can do with us and through us. From this day forward, we need to measure our giants against God and not ourselves. Whatever your giant is, no matter who or what it is, no matter how much superior strength he might have, no matter what resources that giant might have, No matter what comes against you, all is useless with Jesus. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, who shall be against us? Later in the book, Max Lucado writes this: how long since you ran towards your giant? How long since you ran towards your challenge? We tend to retreat. We tend to duck behind a desk or crawl into a nightclub of distraction, or a bed of forbidden love. For a moment, a day, or even a year, we feel safe and insulated. But then, the work runs out, the liquor wears off, or the lover leaves. And we feel Goliath again, booming, bombastic. Lucado goes on, try a different attack. Rush your giant. with a God-saturated soul. Giant of depression, you will not conquer me. Giant of alcohol, you are going down. How long since you loaded your sling and took a swing at your giant? End quote. I know what you're thinking. Your giant is just too big. Your problem is too overwhelming. There is no hope for you. It's a lost cause. It's hopeless. In 1952, Florence Chadwick tried to swim from the Catalina Island to the California coast. She had a boat with her, but the boat could not help her. People on the boat could not help her at all. And she gave up. They got her on the boat, and they said, "Why did you quit? You're only 300 yards from the coast." And she said, "All I could see was hopeless." Is that what you see this morning? Hopeless? Remember DNLMG? You're facing a giant this morning? Do not limit my God. Don't do that. If you're facing a giant alone today and you've never given your heart to God, today would be a great day to make that move. We all face giants. Some of us have the same ones. But we all face them. They're all difficult. But we don't do it alone. There's the good news. Don't limit my God. Remember that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us first. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, we need you. We're thankful for all that you do. We pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to the First Church podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message for today. Be sure to check back next week or subscribe to the podcast by visiting our website at firstforchrist.com. That's first, the number four, christ.com.